there wasn't much left. He was running out of road, he was running out of breath. But he smiled as he heard cry. Said, I'll give you my Vincent to ride. Said, James, in my opinion, there's nothing in this world beats a 52 Vincent and a red-headed girl. Now Nortons and Indians and Greases won't do. Ah, they don't have a soul like a Vincent 52. He reached for her hand and he slipped her the keys. Said, I don't have any further use for these. I see angels on aerials in leather and chrome, trooping down. The tables are empty, the dance floor is deserted. You play the same love song, the 10th time you've heard it. That's the beginning, just one of the clues. You've had your first lesson in learning the blues. When you're at home alone, the blues will taunt you constantly. The nights when you don't sleep, the whole night you're crying, but you can't forget her. Soon you even stop trying. You walk that floor and wear out your shoes. When you feel your heart break, you're learning the blues.
Juicebox is a sexuality education show geared to adult audiences. Listener discretion is advised. Dropped into Juicebox Radio, where sexuality educators quench your search for responsible, progressive sexuality over your lifespan.
Here we go. landed in Juicebox, featured on campus and community radio station CITR 101.9 on the FM dial, fresh and live in the Lotus Land of Vancouver, BC. Or maybe you're one of our online listeners at CITR.ca, or checking out the podcast at a later date from JuiceboxRadio.com. Any way that you came to see this, share this hour with us, we're glad to have you.
That's right. All right. You know, you've met the hottest new person in your life, and things are going along quite nicely. Either it's your first, your 15th, or your 100th date, and you're ready to approach the act of intercourse. Yes, to slide your genitals together, either vaginally or anally, depending on your preference in partners. And you discover, after the usual slightly awkward few moments of entry, that things don't quite fit so well. Either they've slid inside you and you aren't sure they have yet or at all, or they can't get all the way in without either hitting something, tearing something, or even after the efforts of hot foreplay and lots of lube, simply can't get all the way in. Has this ever happened to you? Is it happening now? Do you want to know what to do about it if it happens in the future? Well, this show is for you.
Tonight on the new Juicebox Radio, yes, 10 p.m. podcasted and changing every week. We have a special show in store for you. And if you've got something to contribute to the conversation tonight, please feel free to call in at 604-822-2487.
All right. So the show tonight is called Tips for a Problem Fit. And you know what? It's a more common issue than you think. And in fact, it's so common that I've had so many emails about it that I just figured, hey, I'm going to put together a show all about problem fits and what to do about them. So here we go.
Hi there, Julia. I've recently become involved with a guy and things have been great. We started having sex a few days ago, but there's a problem. His penis is absolutely massive. My jaw dropped the first time I saw it. Now, I've never had this problem before. Most of the guys I've been with were average or a bit small. But the sex with this guy just hurts. Most of the positions I've been comfortable with are used to deeper penetration, more friction, or whatever. But that's something that I don't want with this guy. Are there any positions I can try by trying to make sex with him more comfortable?
Well, that's a good question. And you know what? It's not a big deal in most cases. It may just be a problem fit. Or it could be a really serious problem with your actual issues of being too large or too small of the fit things. We're going to get into that. But I'd say if there's positions, I would say to be on top is a really good way to go. You want to also make sure that you avoid the deepest penetrative positions, like doggy style is really a super deep one. And there's others. I think probably when you're doing, what is it, reverse cowgirl? Which is kind of like doggy style, but you're on top, but the woman's on top. So those are kind of the ones that you're going to be having the deepest. And you want to make sure that you are careful with those positions. Caroline, you're looking at me in a funny way.
I'm not looking at you. Well, maybe.
Yeah. So you want to make sure you do those when you're completely aroused. It's absolutely imperative. If you've got a very large penis and or a smaller vagina, you want to make sure, you know, a shorter vagina specifically, you want to make sure that you go gently and that you're completely aroused before you have full penetration. But you know what? You need to relax for your vagina to relax or for your anus to relax. So what does that take? I mean, I've talked about this a lot on Juicebox. You have to make sure that there's a lot of communication going on, that there's a lot of lubrication going on, that there's a lot of arousal going on, and that you don't just try to jam the thing in all the way. I mean, especially if you've got a large cock, guys, you got to be a little more careful with how you wield that machine. And I think that usually I found, you know, most guys with large penises tend to be a little more gentle. They tend to take it a little slower. They kind of know the tool that they wield. So yeah, absolutely. I think absolutely get some lube. If you've got a large cocked guy out there, you got to make sure you have lots of lube by the side of the bed and don't be afraid to use it. But I think even with tons of lube, you need to be relaxed, you need to be fully aroused, and just to take it really easy and slow in the beginning until your vagina can accommodate it. I think really An interesting idea, if you've got this problem, is to buy a large dildo. So you want to make sure that you're stretching your vagina and enabling it to become a little fuller, a little more open. So if you buy a big dildo and you start using it, eventually your vagina will stretch itself out, and that will enable you to handle your large lover a little better. But then again, that width, it's a width thing, right? So if you stretch your vagina width-wise, you know, obviously it can get quite large. We push babies out of it. That's kind of what it's made for. So it can obviously get very wide, but that doesn't accommodate the length. So if a man has got a particularly long penis, and or a woman's got a particularly short vagina, or the fit is just bad, I mean, sometimes it can be a bad fit, there's not a lot you can do about the length. I mean, the girth thing is always manageable and fixable, but the length thing can be a problem. I mean, personally, I have a very short vagina, and I've been told this by my gynecologist, so I'm not just making it up. I probably have a smaller one than average. The average size of a vagina is about 2 to 4 inches in length, and then it lengthens up to 2 extra inches longer when they're fully aroused. And there's some space behind the back of the cervix. The cervix sits in the vagina. It's part of the uterus. And there's a space underneath kind of the cervix that's on the back wall towards your rectum and stuff that's got some extra space in there. That's why certain positions feel good. Other positions hit your uterus or hit your cervix. So your cervix is kind of more tightly attached to the front wall of your vagina. So when you're in doggy style, you've got that tilted, so you're actually closing the wider space or the longer space, and you're kind of hitting the cervix at the top there a little bit more readily. So those are just some ways to deal. Do we need to go over that again?
No. Sounds
okay.
Clear.
All right. What do we have next? What's another email that somebody sent me on this topic of tips for a problem fit topic?
Let's see. I have encountered a problem I never expected. My boyfriend is simply quite very large. I'm unable to perform oral sex except for the first couple of inches due to girth, and vaginal sex is totally not satisfying for him because he is too long and cannot carefully penetrate without causing me significant pain. I've seen my doctor and I'm reassured that there is physically nothing wrong with me, no infections, no scarring, but I'm feeling difficult to come up with a solution. Any suggestions? Is my vagina really shallow?
Okay, well, there's a few things. I mean, like I said, girth is one thing. Length is another. Mm. And if there is a bad fit, like it's not just a problem fit, that you need to kind of work a little bit more with it, with arousal and lube and taking your time and using certain positions, which can be great for most people that handles most of their problems. But there's also the bad fit. There's the fit where it's just like super long cock, you know, and a particularly short vagina. So there's not a lot you can do with that. I will get to some tips later in the show about those situations. They're kind of rare, but I think, you know, really there's nothing wrong with you. It's just a problem fit. And Thor, the flesh hammer, may be too big for you. But it's not your problem. It's actually an area of negotiation between the two of you. And you got to be figuring it out together. And in most cases, that's what it takes. Communication and creativity are like the Thor, the flesh hammer. Yes,
it sounds very Dan Savage. I love it.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That was compliments of Dan.
Yes.
Dan, the man. So communication and creativity, two main ingredients in working toward a solution that satisfies both of you. And that's not just with the problem fit issue. That's with most issues, with every issue. Mm. And you know what? Contrary to popular belief, guys out there, you're always like, oh, I want to be big. Well, bigger is not necessarily better. And especially when it comes to things like oral sex and anal sex. When it comes to anal sex, except for people that have a lot of anal sex all the time, like gay men, you know, bigger is not necessarily better in any way. And oral sex, you know, you got to stretch that mouth and you're going to be gag reflex issues going on. It makes it difficult to get the entire shaft of the penis in the mouth or in the vagina. And so it's not always bigger is better. And for others, penetration causes pain. I mean, I know for myself personally, I just can't handle it. If I see a guy with a big cock, I'm like, sorry, you have no chance with me because I just cannot go there. So not always better to have a big member. but you mentioned that pain when your boyfriend tries to penetrate you fully. And I think that this discomfort comes from the head of his penis hitting your cervix, and I've talked a little bit about that. But regardless of penis size, sensual touching is essential before penetration. And I think a lot of people don't really get that. They think, oh, it should just all work really well. It should just, you know, a little bit of kissing, a little bit of rubbing, a little bit of, like, fingering, and maybe a tiny bit of oral sex or something, and that you should be good to go. And women actually feel like we need to be ready that quickly as well. And men don't understand why it takes us so long. I mean, we're like water, and they're like fire. It's like they burn brightly and hot and really quickly, and they get blown out easily, and women are like water. It takes us a while to boil, to get heated up, and then once we're all hot and boiling, it takes us a while to cool down. And that is just the way of the physiology. That is the way of the animal. So, we really imperative. There's lots of foreplay. Really imperative, so before penetration, because arousal is what allows the vagina to move up, or the cervix and uterus to move up and out of the way, and the vagina to get fully lubricated and enabling it to stretch to its maximum at that, well, not maximum, but you know, right, to handle the girth and the size of whatever's being put inside of it. You know, essential, as I said, water-based lubes make a huge difference, and different positions.
Why water-based?
Water-based lubes, yeah. I was listening to this fabulous show called sexisfun.com, and they were podcasted. Fabulous show. I just discovered them online, and they were talking. I learned something, actually, about silicone lubes, and I always say, well, you know, why buy silicone lubes? Because they destroy your silicone toys, and I really don't think you should be buying anything but silicone toys. So if you have silicone lube around, oops, you're going to start using it, and then someone's going to wreck your toy, or you are, and it's going to start to break down inside of your anus or your vagina, and start to leave bits into your tissues. Not a good thing. So I was always like, well, why even get silicone lube? I don't really get it. But I learned something on Sex is Fun, and they said that silicone lube is fabulous, and it was created so that you could have sex in water. Because it doesn't dissipate in water. It's like it stays nice and lubey in water. And I was like, hey! So I learned something, I admit. And the water-based lubes are really important. And ones without glycerin, because glycerin is sugar-based and it creates more yeast infections in a vagina. So you want to find a lube that's water-based, not oil-based, because oil, not only does it break down condoms and break down any kind of rubber material that you might be putting inside of you, it's also... It's just not good for your vaginal tissue. It's not really good for your anal tissue either. Mm-hmm. Your anus can handle more oil because there's oil in feces, there's oil in shit, but it's just not that good for your body. So oil-based lubes are great for masturbating a penis, you know, as long as you're not going to be putting it inside anywhere in your body. But and of course, water-based lubes, the biggest problem with them is they dry out, right? People have a lot of issues with them drying out. And, you know, use a spray bottle by the side of your bed. Perfect solution for that. A little bit of water-based lube. When it starts to get tacky, just spray a little bit of water on wherever you're using the lube, and it rehydrates the lube. So you don't have to keep adding more lube and making it more and more tacky.
Yeah.
And not only does it get tacky, but you lose sensation. So, you know, if you're using too much lube, you can actually get a numbing sensation, which is great if you're, you know, a premature ejaculator or something. But for the majority of us, we don't want to be losing sensation.
And that's not this poor person's question.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, water-based lubes and different positions. But, mm-hmm. you know, the part of the person's question here was that she was having issues with oral as well, and just, you know, some people feel more comfortable with partial insertion. So during oral, anal, and vaginal sex, and that unenveloped part of the penis, you know, the lower part or the mm-hmm. scrotum or the anus can all be stimulated with your fingers or your hands.
I was just going to suggest that.
Or a vibrator, you know, exactly. Yeah. So as you experiment and play with each other, just tell one another how you're feeling, what's comfortable, what feels good. And that doesn't mean you have to have a full conversation while you're having sex. It's like simple words like deeper or not so deep, or gently or harder, faster or slower. Those are usually enough to get the point across and make sex more enjoyable for both of you. And I think that, you know, around the oral sex thing on a man, the Latin term fellatio, which is what it's technically called, mm-hmm. cunnilingus, if you're wondering what the female version, but it means to suck. Oral sex actually isn't all about sucking. There's lots of other things you can do, and blowjobs is not all about blowing. Although you can add sucking and blowing together. Well, maybe not together, but suck one stroke, blow the other. Who knows? Get creative.
We could do a workshop on it.
Yeah, I could do a workshop
yes,
on it.
Yes, you could.
There's many workshops. I think Jennifer from Libido Events does a fabulous workshop. Oral sex on part or along all of the penis involves caressing with the lips, the tongue, the mouth, the breath, fingers, all together. Right, so
nice.
So you can do stuff with the lower part of your hand, or I mean, sorry, the lower part of the penis with your hand and with other things instead of having to engulf the whole thing in your mouth. Right, it's more important that there's no teeth involved, and unless you like that sort of thing, I guess
some people could be into that.
I guess, but you know, the glands, which is known as the head, and the corona, which is the ridge of tissue around the head, and the frenulum, which is that thin band of skin on the underside of the penis, which connects the head and the shaft, has the most nerve endings of the whole penis. So generally, you know, will cause extra pleasurable stimulation, or sorry, sensations when it's stimulated. So, you know, and then the lube, if you're losing lube, or if you don't like the taste of lube or whatever, you can use like a lot of spit, just drink lots of water or whatever and get your spit going. And that kind of gives that sort of warm, liquidy sensation of having full coverage with either the mouth or whatever. So for safer oral, vaginal, or anal sex, use, like I said, water-based. And, you know, some people like the cold sensation of ice cubes, so suck on some ice cubes or drinking some hot tea and then doing it, tingling, you know, chewing on or having a sort of strong mint in your mouth and then doing it before you give the oral pleasure. All these things are going to help to do the work for you is what I'm trying to say. So
nice.
And that's going to help with if you've got a huge cock and you can only get like the first third of it in your mouth, like you're going to have to work the rest of it with other
ways of working with it.
Thank you, honey.
You're welcome. Is there any, you were mentioning that website earlier in regards to about fun and things like that. What I was curious.
Sexisfun.com?
Yes, thank you. I was just going to suggest, is there anything in there perhaps that you think maybe that or any books or anything like that in terms of for our emailer, just in terms of some advice just in general about oral sex, because I think all of us could use some tips.
Oh, yeah. Well, I can't pull these topic titles of books and things out of the top of my head.
Maybe into your blog.
But I'm sure, I can put some on my blog this week. Thanks, Caroline.
You're
good
welcome.
Idea. And then, of course, on my site, there's lots of books. I mean, sex shops and different things online mm-hmm. that you can go and check out. But yeah, you're right. I should probably put some titles. Titles that I recommend. Yes, yes, yes.
That would be great. Let's see who else we've got. Oh, this one's from a boy. I'm well endowed. I keep hitting this hardened area at the end of my lover's vagina, and she complains of something hurting. What's up?
That one
is really
like,
short and sweet.
Chances are that what your girlfriend's feeling and complaining about is the pressure against her cervix. So the cervix forms the base or like the neck of the uterus, and girls can usually feel their cervix with their fingers. Our vaginas are only 2 to 4 inches long. So if we are bearing down and put your fingers inside you, you can feel your cervix. It's mm-hmm. it's pretty much right there. It has kind of like the tip of the nose kind of strength to it. Like it feels kind of hard, like the tip of your nose. And it has fewer nerves than a lot of the reproductive system, but you can still feel it. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, we have a caller. For some reason. Who are you? You're on Juice Box. Hello. I'm good. How are you? Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Cool. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
All right. What's going on, baby?
Well, are you just talking about large penises, or can I just ask a question?
Well, we're talking about problem fits. So we're going to be talking about small penises as well. Did you want to ask a question about something other than that?
Yeah.
Go ahead. What's your question?
As a male, I was wondering if you knew this or not. You're saying before, as a female, you get aroused. You're heated after the moment. You still kind of you want more almost.
Mm-hmm.
As a male, is it almost like the wild where you know if you're wanting to have sex, you've had sex with one female, is it okay or is it normal for you to want to have sex with like every single girl you see after that's like arousing to you?
Yeah. How old are you?
You're not like a sexual deviant or anything.
No, I would say you have a healthy sexual appetite.
Yeah.
How old are you?
I'm 26.
So, you know, I think when you're young, especially, the animal in you is sort of looking to spread your seed as far and wide as possible. So that kind of hits in as well. And maybe you're just not that into your lover. That could be another thing. But it's a whole combination of things. I'd have to talk to you at length about what's going on for you around your relationship with this person. And is there sex with her satisfying or him? And, you know...
Oh, the sex is satisfying. Mm-hmm. I just find myself, like, I don't know if I'm, like, a sexual, like, I don't know if I'm a sex addict or not, because I feel like I want to have sex, like, every day, like, six times a day, you know?
With different people?
Yeah.
Or whomever? Well, you know, addiction, there's a fine line between addiction and a very overzealous or healthy kind of,
drive.
You know, drive. You know, it's like... I used to be a total nymphomaniac when I was young, and, you know, that slowed down over time, and I'm sure it had a lot to do with hormones, experience, age, whatever. It's all kinds of things involved there, but I would say the addiction part comes in when it's affecting your life in ways that are not functioning for you. So, if you can't focus on your work, if you can't have a healthy relationship, you know, maybe you have ADHD, I don't know, and it transmits into your sex life. Like, you know, I had to have to talk to you a little bit longer about what's going on. But I wouldn't feel concerned about being a sex addict unless it's actually affecting your life in a negative way where you're not functioning.
I'm functioning. It's just like I feel like sometimes it does affect, though, like in terms of like healthy relationships where
mm-hmm.
I can't. I'm not very monogamous, I
mm-hmm,
guess.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I wasn't monogamous either, and you know, it had to do with the fact that I was like attention starved. That I found, you know, I just find people. I'm a bisexual, so I find people very, you know, I find multiple people attractive, and you know, I had trouble focusing as well because I just. Like found the world around me so beautiful, and I wanted to fuck everything that moved, and that was kind of the way I was when I was young, right? And there's a difference between desiring and acting that out, right? So it's okay to desire, and it's okay as long as you know you're satisfied with your life and you're not hurting people around you, and you're being responsible to the people around you, like saying, you know what, I'm not in a place in my life where I can be monogamous, and so you have to understand that I'm sort of polyamorous right now in my life, and I'm a swinger or whatever, however you want to word that, and you have to understand that I'm just, you know, I want to have sexual relations with multiple people, and I don't want you to get hurt. And as long as you kind of, you know, create that relationship with whomever you're engaging with, there's nothing wrong with you having a different lover every day. I mean, just practice safe sex and be ethical about being a slut. You know, get the ethical slut book, read it.
The ethical slut book.
Yeah, it's called The Ethical Slut.
What is it? That's basically saying that it's okay for you to.
Well, just sort of guiding you on how to be upfront and honest,
and
just living in your sexual prowessness, whatever that might be for you at that time. You know, if you want to have multiple relationships, if you want to have multiple sex partners or both, how to go about doing that without hurting people, or like at least being responsible about it. And people have to be responsible for their own feelings, but just being a responsible slut. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, and that's where you're at in your life right now. If it's affecting your work and you can't function at school, or, you know, you can't, you know, you're just not a functioning citizen, then you probably have a sex addiction. But that's a whole other show.
Yeah, no, I'm functioning, I guess, in that aspect. So I guess I'm not really a sex addict. I guess I'm just a horny male.
Yeah, well, get The Ethical Slut and email
Where can
me.
I get The Ethical Slut?
Just read the book.
Where can I get it, though?
Oh, God, any bookstore, honey, pretty much. But there, I would say, you know, Little Sisters or Women's Wear, mm-hmm. or are you calling from Vancouver? Like, these are...
Art of Loving.
Yes,
Art of Loving Gallery, just sort of any bookstore that's... I think Aphrodisia on 4th and... Or McDonald's and 4th is another new one.
Mm-hmm.
There's any sort of store that's got, you know... I think even Banyan Books has a huge sex thing. They probably have it there.
A huge selection, yeah.
Yeah.
The library might even.
I don't know.
You'd be
that.
Surprised what you can get out at the library.
Yeah. But anyway,
cool.
But thanks for calling, and just be ethical about your slutdom, darling, and don't feel bad about it.
Fair enough. I was saying I listen to your guys' show a lot. And,
oh, cool.
You have a new host. Who's your new host?
Caroline McGillivray. She's on tonight. Say hi, Caroline.
Hello, everyone. And hello, you.
Hello, Caroline.
She's got a really, she's just as gorgeous as she sounds, so thank you. Back Sorry. Off. No, I'm just kidding.
She does have a very beautiful voice.
She does, and she's a fabulous, fabulous girl, so awesome. Thanks for listening.
Yes, have a great show.
Okay, cool.
Thank you.
Bye. Podcasted forever, that guy. And I don't think I did too bad of a job on the engineering, I have to say.
No, I'm really impressed.
We got it all right. And actually, you know what? I think it's a perfect time for a break.
I think so, too.
We'll get back to the cervix talk. I don't think there's really much to say there. It's, again, in too deep. Size difference is an issue. That's kind of why we're going to be talking at the second half of the show about a small penis, larger vagina thing. So I'm just going to wrap up this sort of talk around a large phallus, smaller orifice thing. Is that you know it's really about making sure that you take it easy, that you make sure the person's very aroused. I mean, anal sex, you have to be even more careful. Definitely more careful with anal sex. And you know, just know that cervix is 4 to 6 inches in when she's aroused. It's like a 4 to 6 inch difference. And if you have an 8 inch penis, you're going to have to try to reach around the back of that uterus and make sure that you're not in positions that are going to bang it. And if you are going to be doing deeper penetration, just make sure you're not doing a bang slap kind of move. You got to do like kind of a grind move, a kind of a more of a fluid move instead of an in and out thing. You got to make sure you're doing kind of a rolling thing so that you can actually stretch the tissue instead of whack the tissue.
So no pounders.
No pounding. None of this. None of that. Okay. All right. So I think we're going to take a break, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Right.
Let's take a short break, listeners.
And, honey,
yeah.
This is Caroline's job. She's new at this.
Sorry, darling. We welcome your calls at this time, so give us a call with any questions or comments about tonight's show, tips for a problem fit, and get yourself on podcast forever. Give us a call in at 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. Keep that dial locked to hear more. You're at Juice Box, featured on CITR, Vancouver's 101.9 FM. We'll be right back.
street. Assembly
is an international humanitarian organization using sport and play programs to encourage the healthy physical, social, and emotional development of the world's most disadvantaged children. RTP at UBC is run by a team of committed university students who advocate sport for development, and it is the first university chapter of its kind. We want you to get involved. Together, we can educate students about sport for development, help raise money, and teach children here in the Lower Mainland about the importance of sport and a healthy lifestyle. So check us out at www.interchange.ubc.ca/RTPUBC.
Juicebox is a sexuality education show geared to adult audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
You're back in Juicebox. Thanks for listening. Tonight we're here to talk about how we can help your generally awkward or problem fit better for you, or simply just to know when to quit. If you've missed the first half of the show, you can get it on podcast by checking out juiceboxradio.com or citr.ca after the show.
And that piece of music for the caller who called is Thumbelina's One Night Stand by Melissa McClelland. And I think she is a local artist. It was just released. And the song that I played was Iroquois Street Factory.
Nice.
And that is Melissa McClelland.
I do
love
like
that last name.
Name of that CD.
Yes, Thumbelina's One Night Stand, which is sometimes what can happen when you have sex with someone who's got a bad fit and you don't want to see them again. So, all right. So the first half of the show, we were talking about large penises, small orifices, like small vaginas mostly. And the second half of the show, we're going to be talking a little bit more about the small penis, which is tends to be a little bit more of the common
That's
situation.
Normal.
So a small penis, larger vagina. We're talking about that. So that kind of problem fit. We're going to...
Yeah, let's take a look at this email. Is it normal to have a 5-inch dick that when my sperm comes out, it just rolls over instead of spurting like in the movies? I've had sex once. I've had many offers, but I turned them down because I think my dick is too small. I was having sex with a 17-year-old, and it was my first time, so I needed some walkthrough, and she said she didn't care about my penis size, but when I was having intercourse, she made little moans and groans, but I didn't think I was pleasing her, and it made me feel really bad, and I thought, why do I have to have such a small dick? What can I do? I'll pay anything to make it get bigger. Wow.
Well, yeah, it can be hard, especially for the young ones.
Yeah.
Until you start having more experiences and realize that... It's not the size of the... What is the famous saying? It's not the
size. It's not size. Size doesn't count. It's what you do with it
that matters. It's what you do with it. So we're going to be talking about that for sure. And as far as the length of the penis, 5 inches is actually quite normal. Penises come in many different sizes. I mean, the average erect penis length is about 6 inches. So you might be a little smaller than normal, but... You're also 15, so your penis is going to keep growing. It's not finished growing yet, and it's going to reach its full adult size probably close to 21. It takes men that much longer to grow. It's a fraction of an amount, but your maximum amount will be about 21, 22 years old before your penis is actually fully its full size. So it may not be a big difference between 17 and 21, but it will grow a little bit. So hang on there, little guy.
Julia.
You're 15, okay? You're still a young boy. So give it some time. But what's more important for you to know is that penis size is not key to men pleasing their lovers, pleasing their female lovers. The vagina is elastic. I was talking about this earlier in the show. It can tightly accommodate a big or a small penis, and actually it can snugly accommodate a finger. A small finger, obviously. You still feel the walls of a vagina when you put a finger inside of it. And the length of the average vagina, like I said earlier in the show, is only about 3 inches. And it can lengthen to, you know, 5 to 6, depending on the woman, when they're aroused. The nerve endings are mostly at the opening of the vagina, which is called the introitus. So, and it's really concentrated mostly in her clitoris, which is on the outside of her vulva at the top of her body, above the vaginal opening. So, too many people out there, the reason I have to get down to these basics is that they still believe that a man or a lover of a woman can cause a woman to orgasm by just moving something in and out of her vagina, moving their penis in and out of her vagina. And I personally know very, very, very few women who can orgasm this way. Except for Caroline. we have this fabulous woman here. Now are you getting bang? Are you getting like getting the bang there, honey? Are you getting like the actual like pound?
It's yeah, usually.
Okay,
I,
so you're actually getting clitoral stimulation when you're getting pounded.
It feels like, you know where it feels like? It feels like a shelf inside where it's actually the cervix there.
Oh, you're getting a G-spot orgasm,
yes.
Then. Okay.
Yeah, it's
great.
There.
Good for you. Right on. So yeah, G-spot orgasms are available, but for the majority of women, it's about the clitoris. And the clitoris is still a good thing. I mean, even...
It's a very good thing.
Even if you don't...
It's just not my usual thing, but for the most women, yes, it is.
Yeah, okay. Great. You know what? That's also really important. Sex is a total body experience, and so is orgasm. So it's also your mind. You know, your mind has to be relaxed, everything has to be engaged, your body needs to be being touched, you have to, you know, it's a full body thing. So, it's also not about competition, who's bigger, who's better. It's about sharing, it's about communicating, it's about intimacy and pleasure. So, the best lovers are not guys who have the best equipment or the best technique even. The best lovers are the guys who are the best at communicating with their partners. Finding out what pleases their partners, telling her what pleases him, sharing about how they each like and don't like to be touched, or what turns them on about that person, what they find attractive, what works. So instead of worrying about the size of your penis, think about whether you are man enough to talk openly and honestly about sex with your partner. And about the sperm thing, it's really a misconception that semen needs to spurt out of the penis. It's not the case for many boys and men, I can tell you right now. Semen typically will dribble or ooze out just in the manner that this young boy described. The bottom line is you're normal and get some good books on learning how to communicate. Masturbate. Figure out what you like.
Masturbation is good.
All that stuff.
Let's see what else we've got. This one's from a woman. I'm a 22-year-old female, and I've recently started dating a man, and we're completely smitten with each other. It's the first relationship I've had since breaking up with my ex-fiance and only sexual partner of 3 years or so in terms of sex. I want to take it slow. My worries have risen since we've become more sexually involved. Although we've only done foreplay, which has all been terrific, he's a completely generous man in that respect, which is a total novelty for me. I'm worried that my vagina is too big for the size of his penis, and that neither of us will get any pleasure. My ex-partner was extremely large, and I don't know if this is the reason why, but I think that I'm very large. My old hang-up used to be the size of my labia, but this is something completely different that is just adding to my sexual worry and insecurities. My new partner is very small in comparison to what I'm used to, and so I'm holding back a lot and making a lot of excuses about sex because I don't want him to think I'm big or feel a lack of pleasure if we were to have sex. One night after this night of drinking, he entered me for a few moments, but then I pulled away because I felt like I was too big for him. Although my friends say that this is possibly had to do with his alcohol consumption. It is really becoming an issue for me now. And I told my partner that it's because I want to move slowly after my breakup. And he said he didn't mind, but we've waited for 3 months. And, well, I know he wants to become as intimate as much as I am desperate to. And emotionally, I'm falling for him, and I don't want this issue to ruin this fantastic and perfect relationship. So can you please tell me something I can do? I started doing pelvic floor muscle exercises, but I don't know if I'm doing them properly or how to do them properly or how long or if they work. Can you help? I haven't discussed this with him at all. What do you say, Julia?
So what I say is try. I mean, talk about it if you have to. then, you know, so try first, then talk about it if you have to, then worry if you must. Not the other way around. You're worrying about talking about it, you're worrying about all these things, and you're not doing any trying. You're not actually doing it. So, again, the vagina is very elastic, and the too big phenomenon is not a commonplace problem. So, neither for that matter is the too small penis thing. And I think that your vagina will do fine, even if it can accommodate a much bigger penis. Because don't forget that any vagina can accommodate a baby. So before you start fretting about a problem and exercising muscles, first find out if there is a problem. And if there is one, or, you know, might be one, then talk about it with him. Because it's not weird or abnormal to have certain measurements anywhere in or on the body. We are all different. The important thing is that sex and relationships depend on the mutual trust, the understanding, and the respect, which is good communication. It's all about that. Another important thing, if you don't try and you don't talk, read, if you don't do things together, you're going to start to worry, and you're going to be untrue to yourself and the other. You're going to lie like you've been doing with this person. You're going to be unhappy like you've been with this person and make the other one unhappy, and you're going to confuse everyone and create misunderstandings and et cetera. So mayhem and disaster, girl. I mean, issues are rarely the thing that ruins relationships. It's the way that you deal with the issues that can do the ruining. So pleasure is only partly a matter of genitals. I have to tell this time and again. Most of the pleasure is in the intimacy, the sharing of your bodies, the sharing of your spirit. The actual amount of tension or friction isn't all that important for most people. So just try, just relax, and love each other. And I also think that, you know, if your vagina is a little larger than, for women out there who's, you know, they have a lover who they're crazy about, the penis is really small for them, or they have an average size penis, but you've got a larger than average size vagina, the pelvic floor muscles will help you to gain strength in your muscle along your vaginal tube. And you will be able to sort of do more of that kind of muscular milking of the penis. So you'll be able to feel more of it inside of you. They'll be able to feel more snug inside of you. So it does have an effect. It does work if you want to tighten your vagina. But the tightening part isn't that it's going to be tight all the time. It's only going to be tight when you tighten your muscles. So, you know, it really... Again, you know, I think we put so much pressure on you know, things feeling like they're really snug, and there's like a lot of friction, a lot of movement, and a lot of kind of like sucking of the vaginal wall when you pull the penis out, that you see this like kind of the labia kind of moving on it because there's so much tension from the size. And none of that stuff, you know, it's just, I mean, it's really... It's not that important. That's where the technique stuff comes in. That's where the emotion comes in. That's where the care and the love and the expression is so important. And, you know, I've had lovers that have had small penises, and the sex has been great. And it's really about the connection. It's about the communication. And you know what? If you can have an orgasm with your fingers, with your hands on your own, like, why can't you do that? Or with a vibrator? Like, you can still have great sex with your partner, you know, whether or not there's all that friction and tension and rubbing and all the business. I mean,
it's true.
I've given guys orgasms by, like, seriously, like, just touching them so lightly with my fingers that there's no way that they, like, my vagina must be tighter than that. You know, like, it's all in the mind, right? It's like the mind, a little bit of physiology there, but...
It's so true.
Yeah, it's like, they're just, get creative, you know? See it as a challenge to be creative about. Try your best.
Mm-hmm.
Do what you can and keep working it. And if it doesn't work after a while and you just aren't feeling it, then that's okay too. You know, like, you can just be like, well, I ain't feeling it. But I mean, try to love the person that you're with, you know, try to make it work.
Let's see what else we've got. Oh, this one's from a boy. Recently, I'm not sure how to pronounce this word, Julia. Recently, I've discovered an Arabic way of penis enlargement called jelqwing. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right. Now, I know there are many other sites that I could go to get this information, but I'm reluctant to dish out money to gain access to these sites.
Jelqwing? How is that?
I don't know.
Oh my God.
I'm a real cheap ass.
I was wondering. This person's a cheap ass. Okay.
They are a cheap ass. But they want to know if, I guess, I don't know if they want to know if we'll pay for the information here, what exactly, what this jail queue is performed, and if there are any precautionary measures that they should take before performing the jail queue. Also wondering if the jail queue is real or if it's some elaborate prank that just went too far. Thanks in advance for the information that I'll know be 100% accurate. I like the confidence in us.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's more. P.S. I know. It's not the size of the equipment that counts. It's how well it performs. But I think... Was that what we were trying to say earlier?
Yes, we were. You know, the penis enlargement thing, I did want to talk a little bit about that tonight because I know that those men out there who don't think that they measure up to whatever standards they've set for themselves in society and for themselves is that they go for these penis enlargement things. I cannot tell you. There's a million ads. They are everywhere.
I get them in my email all the time.
So I want to just speak to that a little bit tonight in the last part of the show. And that is that, let me just do a quick review of how a penis is put together. So this might clear up some confusion regarding penis enlargement. So listen up. Enclosed in a case of skin, the penis is made up of nerves, blood vessels, fibrous tissue, smooth muscle, and these three cylindrical bodies of spongy tissue that fill with blood when a man has an erection. There's no bone. And there is some skeletal muscle at the base of the penis, just at the base. So books and websites advocate exercises practiced since ancient times to lengthen the penis. Well, these exercises are exoticizations, so they're total exotic things, of basic masturbation techniques used by boys and men the world over that have no effect on penis size.
Wow.
They're good for other things, though. But this gel cue is portrayed as an Arabian technique involving either wrapping the index finger and thumb around the base of the penis and pulling up, which they think they're kind of opening up the muscle and pulling on it, or just pinching the penis with the index finger and thumb and pulling up. So there's another one, it's called Jojido, and it's this exotic Japanese technique, and it's similar to the gel cue. However, and now I'm saying that probably totally wrong. These
okay.
exercises all operate on the premise that the penis is a muscle that can be toned and buffed, similar to your biceps. But for better or worse, the smooth muscle of the penis cannot be exercised beyond what it's meant to do, which is getting erections stiff enough to put inside something as snug as a vagina and maintained long enough to ejaculate. That's all a penis tissue is meant to do. So work out all you please, boys. Just don't expect anything bigger at the end of the month. So I'm trying to tell you this, okay? So then penis pumps. These things, these big suction things, like, what were you thinking about when we were talking?
I just got the vision of Austin Powers, like, sticking that on that little Japanese man in there and just pumping at penis, and the Japanese
like,
man looking
mine.
Down going, oh,
oh. Oh, my God. It's not mine. What was he saying? It was not his.
It's not mine.
Falls out. He's
totally.
All in his luggage. Yeah. So penis pumps, just so you know, they were developed to help men who have trouble getting and keeping erections. This is before the day of Viagra. Okay? These erection devices are plastic cylinders that are placed on the penis, where you put the penis inside of them, actually, helping men get erections by drawing blood into the penis, like a vacuum cleaner. I know a lot of little boys used to masturbate into the vacuum cleaner hose.
Or a sock.
Works a little easier than
a cheap sock, like an American Pie.
Right. So this temporary effect is produced by means of the vacuum. So it pumps air out of the device and pulls your cock and its tissue and its blood and fluid inside of your penis into, like, the penis tissue. So it makes it erect. And then once you remove the cylinder, there's this tourniquet or rubber band or cock ring, as it's usually known. You put it on the base of the penis, and it holds the blood in the penis and keeps it erect.
Okay.
So this constrictor band should, by the way, if you're going to try this at home, you're going to go get a penis pump right now and try it at home, do not keep it in place for longer than 20 minutes. You will damage your penis. You will damage it. Like, I can't tell you how badly you're going to damage it, but you will, depending on how much you fuck around with it. So penis pumps do not permanently increase penis size. They actually increase the size. If to increase the size of the penis, honestly, you need to increase the quantity of tissue.
Mm.
And that's something that no amount of vacuuming, rubbing, inspired by ancient wisdom or hypnotic suggestion is going to do.
It's going to help.
So another thing that people have done in the past is using weights to pull the penis out of the muscular structure of the body.
Like the towels technique, picking it up with a bath towel.
Okay, well, that's that could be a way of exercising. That's actually a pubococcyx exercise, but you can also end up damaging penis tissue with that. So, I don't know. I just... I've about to get these men. I'm going to have like a penis health workshop for all these poor guys that are doing these things themselves. So what you're going to be doing with the towel thing and with these weights and other things is you're actually stretching what's called the tunica albuginea. Genia or something. I can't pronounce that one either.
It's okay. I was
and it's
say,
this
don't
membrane.
It.
It's this membrane that surrounds the erectile chambers of the penis, those three tubes that I was talking about, the spongy tissue. And it's this elasticity and overall size of the tunica albuginea that determines the length and width of the penis. So if you hang weights from it, you might get a millimeter of stretch in that fascia or in that tissue, but I mean a millimeter is not going to make any difference, and you might end up damaging yourself. So,
yeah.
So and then of course the other option that's out there for men is penile enlargement, surgery. So surgery, lots of surgeries coming out. Some see this surgery as similar to breast enlargement surgery in that the body change contributes to a person's self-esteem. So they're like, oh, if you're going to get breast enlargement surgery, it's going to make you feel better and more sexy. So then if you get penile enlargement techniques and things, then you're going to, this is Hans Claus misery hour in the house. Always at 5 minutes too, he gets us excited. However, the surgical techniques are not well researched, so I really don't recognize. I don't know. Every time this man, I don't know what you just said, but you're kerfuffling me now.
That's because we said excited and penis in the same sentence. Erection. Anyway,
so I just want you to know that some of the surgical techniques have like included fat injections and tissue grafts, and I just want you to know that they can leave scars where the skin is grafted, and if you inject fat in your penis, it will leave you with a lumpy penis because fat gets reabsorbed into the body really easily. So don't do that either.
if you go to
a doctor that's like, oh, I can do this for you. And they're also, oh no, what's going on here? There are also some techniques that cut the ligaments and pull the penis out of the pubic bone, which is there's a lot of muscle and penile tissue inside the pubic area.
Mm-hmm.
But once you pull that out, you're going to lose the anchor to the pubic bone. So then the nerves are going to sometimes get cut and damaged. But more importantly, your penis is going to hang right down. And even when you have an erection, your penis will be hanging down.
So it'll be like breasts
straight
after.
Down between, you know, and you'll kind of have to hold it to kind of wield it in the ways that you're used to wielding it. So you'll have to kind of be holding it with your hand because it's going to be like this dangling thing.
It'll be like male strippers with the elastic around the top of their penis.
Yeah.
Kind of.
So, yeah.
Lovely.
So really
so sexy.
Penis enlargement surgery, you know, maybe it's going to change in the future, but for now, learn to love the one you're with.
I'd be curious how much, if they lose sensitivity with that or not.
Depends on what kind you have done.
That's true.
I'm not sure. All right.
Got one last one.
No, like. I don't think we have time for that one, do we, honey?
You're right. It's pretty
the
much.
The phalloclits. I was just, so I just sort of felt like, oh, you know, maybe I should throw this one in because there's, you know, women feel that we have such large, you know, clits, or some women have a phalloclit. They have a very large clit, and really, a lot of times it can be due to there's a whole other things. There's all kinds of things that can happen, but sometimes there's an adrenal glands when you're doing fetal development that can cause women to be born with a larger clitoris. We have a whole realm of different kinds of genitals. I would recommend that you look at some books because I want you to know that there's such a huge variety, and anyway, it doesn't matter. But if you have a big clit, you're obviously going to have easier orgasms. So have a good time, girl.
Not a bad thing.
That's all I have to say about that. Easier to find, easier to climax, easier to access your clit, so don't feel bad about it. But if you want to feel a little bit more like normalized, I would suggest looking at illustrations and photographs. And, you know, the genital art gallery on Betty Dodson's website is really helpful. I Am My Lover by Joni Blank has beautiful images on demystifying, reassuring, and educating women and men about the variety of sizes, shapes, colors, and parts of women's inner hearts. That was cute. And if you have any more questions about the clitoris, I think The Clitoral Truth by Rebecca Chalker can also be very interesting.
Well, Julianne, I hope we've offered you an insightful show this week. It's about that time.
It's about that time. It's time to get out of here.
Yeah, so we'll be back next Wednesday with another original Juice Box. In the meantime, feel free to email Julia about your issues or questions about sexuality or relationships at julia@juiceboxradio.com. And you can listen to past shows, check out her blog, or keep up to date with what's happening next. And don't forget on the blog, just listing oral sex advice in terms of what books to read.
Oh, yes. Thank you, darling. Yeah,
I'm just giving you a background. Just keep going.
My background's coming, okay? it's coming. It's okay, Marianne.
But in regards to that, please email
us. Send us a note. Make a comment.
Yeah.
Ask some questions. It'd be really nice to know that you're listening.
And stay tuned to Hans Claus, which you've already heard.
Hans Claus is Misery Hour with Marianne.
And thank you for dropping by to Jukebox Radio. We'll be back next week at the sexy hour of 10 o'clock.
All right. You just experienced Juice Box Radio, a show dedicated to developing your relational and individual sexual health, expressing diversity, celebrating queerness, and encouraging pleasure at all stages. Be sure to tune into Juice Box every Wednesday night at 10. In the meantime, you can check out juiceboxradio.com. Thanks for listening. I have to